preached from Philippians chapter 4 yet this year. Well, it's only the third week, or fourth week, or somewhere along there, I'm not sure. It's the fourth week, but I haven't preached from here yet. I probably will again. Many of you know I love Philippians chapter 4. It's kind of my go-to chapter for many answers to life. You can find right here in Philippians chapter 4. It's a great passage. We've started at the beginning of the year of talking about more of the same. Where do we go for this year of 2015? Well, we're going to do more of the same. And last week we spent a great deal of time on having more Bible. And why do we need more Bible? Well, it's the Bible that convicts my sin. It exposes it. It tells me. It's the Bible that cleanses my mind. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. And then the Bible clarifies my life. It sets me on the path. It guides me through. Now, I'm convinced that if our Bible is right, and what I mean by that is, if I am in my Bible the way that I am supposed to be in my Bible, that will entail that my prayer life will also be where it is supposed to be. It is one, they're connected in and of that. And so if my Bible reading life is right, then more than likely my prayer life is going to be right. In Philippians chapter 4, I want you to look with me in verse number 4 is where we'll start. We'll read through verse number 7, and I'll pray, make some introductory comments here this morning concerning our topic of more prayer. More prayer. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want you to pay special attention there to verse number 6, where he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want to preach a message entitled this morning, be careful for everything by praying. Be careful for everything by praying. Let's pray together as we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we just, we rely upon you. Father, as we come, we don't want to come out of religious exercise. For Father, we have plenty of religion in our culture, but we need something that is real. We need something that is true. We need something that comes from your word this morning. Father, may it not just be opinion-based, but Father, may it be truth-based. And while we looked last week at the thought of needing more of your word, God, may we apply this week needing more prayer. More prayer time. More time with you. Father, if our lives are going to be pleasing to you, if we're going to be doing and being where you would have us to be, it's going to take spending time with you. It's going to take communicating with you. And God, I pray this morning that we'd be able to communicate through this message the necessity of being prayerful and careful in everything we do through prayer. Help us to be mindful of it. May it drive us to a place where we spend more time with Thee and Thee alone. Help us this day. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are 310 verses in Scripture that mention the word pray. Pray. 310. Now there are some other forms of the word pray that the Bible mentions. 109 times it says prayer. 65 times mentions the word prayed. 20 times it mentions praying. 7 times it says prayeth. And 2 times it mentions prayest. In each of those accounts, if you're to total that up, that's 513 verses throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. 513 verses that talk to us concerning this idea of prayer. Now, in some of those cases, I want to make sure I point out that in some of those cases, it is not always a prayer to God. Now, I don't want to be confusing to you this morning, so I want to start by explaining what is prayer. It's important to define terms. It's important to understand what we're doing and what we're talking about. Now, typically, in most cases, when we're talking about praying, we're talking about our communication directly with God. But let's define prayer as we see here. It means to ask with earnestness as for a favor, or for something desirable, to entreat, to supplicate, or to implore, or beg with urgency. We'll find in Scripture where Paul may say, I pray you. Where Scripture may say, I pray you in something. Basically what he is saying there, I'm begging you with urgency. I'm imploring you to do this. A very simple definition of prayer would mean to ask with passion. Very simple. So if I could break it down like this, what is it to pray? It is to ask something passionately. So I may come this morning and be passionately and say, Colby, man, I need something. I gotta have it. Can I have your shoes? They're sharp. I gotta have them. I need some new black shoes. All my shoelaces broke. Now, did you see how the passion kind of died down there? I started off very passionately, but then it kind of got to the point where, but we may ask something passionately. I would say, I pray you. I'm asking with passion. What can I have? What can I need? That is simply what prayer is. Now, of course, in our culture, we have developed this idea that prayer is something that we are giving to God. And it is, when we look at Scripture and we're talking about praying, and where the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me ask you something. Are you a praying person? Are you a praying person? Now, we're in church this morning, and if you've never been to church, you may not understand what I mean by that. But most of you, if you've been around church at any point in time in your life, you know what I mean by, are you a praying person? Are you someone that takes things and takes matters and requests to God? Now again, I mentioned a few weeks ago that there are some that seem to be prayer requesters but are not prayers. There is a difference. There is a difference in one that asks for prayer or requests prayer but then never prays themselves. There is a difference. But notice in Scripture, he starts in verse number 4 by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." There is something, there is a reason that we need more prayer in our lives. We mentioned 2 weeks ago, as we began this topic and began this series, we talked about we are in the last days. We're in the last days. And so when Paul comes here and he starts saying, look, the Lord is at hand. Look, folks, time is short. The Lord is at hand. And he starts right after that. He says, be careful for nothing but in everything. You know what he's saying? He's saying, be careful for everything. Every aspect of your life ought to be bathed with prayer. Every aspect of it ought to be concerning what it is I'm going to pray about. Let your request be made known unto God. And look what happens there. I think something that everyone longs for in their life. He says in verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Every heart longs for the peace of God. We may not experience the peace of God, and I'll tell you why most of us don't experience the peace of God is because we refuse to rejoice and we refuse to pray. We just sit down and we say, I want the peace. I want God's peace. But God said, rejoice. And he didn't just say it once, he said it twice. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He said it with emphasis. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. See, that phrase there, be careful for nothing, but in everything. That is, we can't just float through life like it doesn't matter. But most of the time, that's what we do. We just float through life like it doesn't matter until we come to a time of turmoil. And I'll tell you, a time of turmoil is coming. You say, when? I don't know. If you're not in it now, it's coming. It's going to come because it comes to every life. The Bible says it rains upon the just and the unjust. On every life, turmoil is going to come. And we need to know how to pray. How to pray. You see, if we're going to ask that question, what is prayer, simply means to ask with passion. The second question that we may ask is, how do I pray? The disciples asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I think a lot of times we come to, and I've heard this before, somebody says, I don't know how to pray. From time to time, we'll sit down as a family and we'll go through and we'll all pray together. And I remember a couple of years ago, we were praying, and I don't remember which kid it was. I think it may have been Asher. He said, Dad, he said, how do you think of all of that stuff? How do you think of all of that stuff to pray? I really didn't have an answer. It just comes with praying. You know, when my wife and I started dating, we used to have to think about what to talk about. Didn't really know one another very well. I knew I liked her. I knew I wanted to know more about her. But it took on purpose asking questions and learning one another and telling about each other and me telling about me and her telling about her and asking questions. And I remember the first time as we started dating, I wanted to get a sandwich, and so I told her, I said, I'm going to go over here to this restaurant and get a sandwich. I said, what can I get for you? and she gave me her order, and she said, and I don't want any tomato or onion. I said, what? And she said, I don't want any tomato or onion. I don't eat tomatoes or onions. And I said, I don't either. You remember that? And I remember calling my mother, because my mother told me, you're never going to find a girl that doesn't eat tomatoes and onions. I said, Mom, you're never going to believe this. I found the one. And she likes me. I mean, that was the bond that brought us together. Because I think she told her mom the same thing. She said, Mom, he doesn't eat tomatoes or onions. We're perfect for each other. Well, how did we know that? We got to know one another. We asked questions. But when we talk about how to pray, can I just tell you, you know how to pray. You do. How do you ask anyone anything? But you see, prayer is not always easy. I know that. Prayer is not always easy. Can I tell you? Sometimes because there's sin in our life. There's a breach in our relationship that makes it a little more difficult. Can I say now, when I know that Rachel is upset with me, that I've done something stupid, and I do stupid things. Can I tell you, sometimes it's hard to talk. And the more stupid the offense, the harder it is. Amen? Can I tell you, sometimes it's the same way with God. Sometimes the more offensive we have been, the harder it is to approach God. But can I tell you something? When we approach God, it ought to be a wonderful experience. But can I help you here in saying that a lot of the time that we don't develop a real, fervent prayer life is because the only time we go to God in prayer is when something's wrong. It's an emergency. It's an emergency on our part, and we go and we say, God, I want you to do this. And here's the most wonderful thing about that is God always hears. But I'll tell you, it's harder for us because we only go to God and we're missing a wonderful element in our Christian life because we only go out of an emergency situation. I'm just going to tell you, if the only time that I ever spoke to my wife was during a time where I wanted something, how would that go over, dear? Not well. And you too. Honey, do this. Honey, do that. Now look, we wouldn't do that to our spouse, and maybe you would. I don't know. Maybe you have. I don't know. But I can tell you this, it hasn't been successful for you. And how do you think your relationship with God is going to be? Again, we're talking about praying. We're talking about the Lord is at hand. And he says, be careful for nothing. He says, don't take life by chance. He says, but in everything, in prayer, in supplication with thanksgiving. Let me help you with this. How do I pray? Now, when I'm going to answer this question, how do I pray? I'm not going to answer it in a way of, this is what you say. But I'm going to give you more of the sense of, how do I approach God? Because we're talking about prayer. We're talking about asking. We're talking about wanting an answer. We don't ask questions that we don't want answers to, do we? Not typically. As a matter of fact, I mean, we want answers. And you know, one of the things I'm finding, I forgot with my girls, they're getting older, but Asher is 10. And he's getting to that age where everything's a question. I mean, everything. That's all the kid does. We were out knocking on some doors yesterday, and with Brother Hugh, and Asher was with us, and we had just gotten out of the van, and by the time we got to the first door to knock on it, Asher had already asked 5 questions. I mean, and I don't remember what the questions were. Brother Hugh, do you remember? I don't remember what they were. We, you know, answered them and, you know, got to the door. And I remember telling Brother Hugh after he'd asked the 5th question, I told him, I said, Brother Hugh, I said, just understand, Asher's full of questions. He's going to keep asking them. But you know what? When he asks questions, it's because he wants answers. It's his way of starting a conversation. Dad, how does this work? Dad, why? I remember one question, and somebody please help me because I couldn't give him an answer. But we were driving the church bus, and he said, Dad, he said, why are the walls on the church bus thinner than what they are in a normal car? You got me. I don't know. This is the best I could come up with. I said, well, son, because I want to look smart to my kids, you know. I said, the best I could guess is, you know, it's a bigger vehicle, it's taller, and it's got to be lighter because it would be heavy if it made it like a normal car. I don't know. I think I'm just going to start saying Google that. Because I don't know. I mean, he comes up with these questions, but he wants answers. And so when we are asking and going to God and we have questions and we have requests, it's because we want answers. But can I tell you, how we approach those questions makes a difference. And so can I tell you, first off, number one, this is number one of point two. When we're approaching God, we must approach God humbly. Let's not forget the fact that this is God that we're speaking to. This is not our buddy on the telephone. This is not a friend that we haven't seen in a long time. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Master of the universe. This is the Creator God that we're going to. And we must remember who He is. And I must approach God on His terms and not on mine. I never have a right to approach God on my terms. Never to be so flippant as to say, you know, hey, what's up, God? Excuse me? Bite your tongue. God is not someone that we speak to in a casual manner. He's God. And we must approach Him in a humble manner. Can I say, secondly, we must approach God in a worshipful manner. In a worshipful manner. We do not worship God to get from God. Our worship of God, don't miss this, our worship of God is to acknowledge His greatness and His worthiness. To worship literally means to prostrate oneself on the ground. It's the literal meaning of worship. Let me ask them, we would call this the worship service. How many of you have worshiped today? Lay yourself down to understand again God's greatness and His worthiness of just being able to approach Him. We humble ourselves in worship. Notice in verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Can I tell you, while we ought to be humbly, while we ought to be worshipfully, we ought to be thankfully. Again, most of the time we don't get to the thanking and the thanksgiving because we're coming to God out of an emergency. And we're missing again that element, the element of thanksgiving, of saying, God, this is you. You've done and control and have all power and everything. God, I'm thankful. Can you say this morning you're thankful? Why is it that the only time we seem to be thankful is in November? Should we not be just as thankful today as we were on Thanksgiving? I mean, look, I like Thanksgiving. I look forward to Thanksgiving, and it's an enjoyable time. But if that's the only time we're thankful, we're missing it. We're talking about approaching God with thanksgiving. I think one of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons why we don't pray and why we don't give our request is because we don't believe God will answer. I think that's the biggest reason. I mean, we know and we read the scripture and we believe that God parted the Red Sea for Moses. But we don't believe he'd do it for me. I believe he used David to kill the giant. But God wouldn't do that for me. Well, a lot of times, you know, one of my kids will come in and they'll say, Dad, I have a question. And, oh, never mind. Well, no, what's the question? Oh, never mind. I already know what you're going to say. You ever been there? I already know what you're going to say. You know what? Maybe not. Maybe not. Try me. Why do you think God told Paul to write this down and to tell them, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request, or with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why do you think God told Paul to put that in there? Because God wants to know. And one of the reasons why we don't pray is because we don't think God will do it, and we ought to be coming and approaching God with faith, believing that God will answer. Because the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can I tell you, if you're praying once a week, you're not being diligent. If you're praying for your meals every day, you're not being a very diligent prayer. As a matter of fact, if you're only praying for your meals, I would recommend stop. If that's all you're going to do is say, God bless this food, why? It doesn't make sense to me. Do we really believe that he's going to do it? I know we teach these habits and we do this and from time to time we'll sit down as a family and inevitably one of the kids will come in and one of the kids has already got half their food eaten. And we'll say, we haven't prayed yet.
I couldn't wait.
Can I tell you, I have not yet got a sick kid because they didn't ask God to bless their food. I'm not trying to minimize this, okay? I'm trying to maximize the fact that we have to do more than be religious. I'm trying to maximize the fact that if that's all we're doing, all we are is religious. And we need more than that. And if that's all you're going to be is religious, you may as well just stop. We ought to come with faith, believing that God is going to hear our request and answer our request. And let me say this, while we come and we ask God, God, may I have this, or God, will you do this? Can I remind you very quickly that there are times when God is going to say, no, you cannot. You mean God doesn't just say yes to everything? No, he does not. You know why? Because God says and gives us a picture in the fact that he is a father. He's our heavenly father. And just like you as a parent, if you have children, you don't bow down to every wish and request that your children make. Why? Why don't you? Because there are some things that they want that they don't need. And can I tell you, there are some times that we go to God and we say, God, I want this. God, I need this. God, I need you to move this, this, and this to make this happen. And God looks down and he says, hey, it's not what you need. And what we do then is we go into spoil brat syndrome mode. Well, I won't ever pray again. I know that goes, I won't ask. See how that goes? I prayed and I didn't get it. Pastor told me I need to pray more, but it doesn't work. No, no, no. Prayer is asking and receiving an answer. And the answer is not always in the way that we want it to be. That's not what prayer is. And if we don't understand how we are to approach God in humbly and worshipfully and thankfully and faith believing, believe that God's going to give an answer, not the answer that you want. The fifth way we're to approach God: humbly, worshipfully, thankfully, in faith believing. But the Bible describes to us in the book of Hebrews that we can come boldly. Boldly. Now, in the idea, there may be some confusion between humbly and boldly. Okay? Humbly is not timid. And boldly is not necessarily boisterous and, as a matter of fact. And what I mean by that is, if I come in boldly and I've got my shoulders back and I know exactly what I want, and God, this is what you need to do. That's not boldly, that's rude. Can I say that again? That's not boldness, that's rudeness. No, boldness is in the fact that I know, because I'm a child of God, that I have the right to ask this question. That's boldness. And there are times when, I may come and I may ask somebody something, and again, in my position as pastor, sometimes I got to ask people things, to do things or whatever, and sometimes that's hard because I don't always feel like I have the right to ask. You follow what I'm saying? And, like I may come to Edward. Edward, when y'all going on vacation next? May? Can I use your house? I mean, I want to have a few people over. And, they might get a little rowdy. Now, Edward, because we're friends, he may say, sure, go right ahead. No problem. I wouldn't let me borrow his house. but he may say that. But can you imagine going up to somebody that you don't even know? Hey, well, I don't really know you. but can I borrow your house while you're gone? Now, some people may be bold to do that, and that would be a bold request. Can I borrow your house? Well, by the way, I'm going to wear your clothes while I'm there, and I'm going to wear them anyway. No, see, that would be out of line, right? You know, Edward, while I borrow your house, I'm also going to borrow your shirts, your suits, and because you're a sharp dresser, and, you know, no. There's a line, right? Sure. But boldness is knowing I have the right to ask the question because he's my father. You see, there's a relationship there. And because of the relationship, because of what Christ has done in my life in saving me, I have the right to go in with boldness to be able to expect with faith that God will answer, that he will hear. How do I pray? Well, I pray humbly. I pray worshipfully. I pray thankfully. I pray with faith, believing, and I pray with boldness that God would hear my prayer. Now, the next question is, when do I pray? When do I pray? Well, you pray in the morning for breakfast, you pray in the afternoon for lunch, and you pray in the evening for dinner. I already said you don't do that. That's not a... When it comes to prayer, there is no schedule. Can I tell you, God does not punch a time clock? Hallelujah. God doesn't work 9 to 5, keep office hours. You know, oh, honey, what time is it? Oh, I was going to pray today, but God's closed. I missed it. No, there is no, and I'm not trying to be, you know, disrespectful or anything like that. What I'm saying is there is no pray at 9, noon, and 3, and 6, and you've got to stop what you're doing to go to the Lord in prayer. Now, you may have a scheduled prayer time, and I encourage that. I think it's a good thing, but don't let that scheduled prayer time inhibit you from praying at any other time. You may have a scheduled Bible reading time and this and that, but can I tell you, we ought to be meditating upon that Bible reading time and in our prayer time. So when we look at Scripture, what is the pattern that has been given to us, and when do I pray? If it's not for my meals and it's not for certain times of day, when do I pray? We'll go to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to look at several verses here, and I'm going to close this thing out. But I just want you to see the pattern that's been set forth to us in Scripture as to when do I pray. Always. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Notice he's making mention of you, this church, these people. Ephesians chapter 1. Just flip over a couple of books. Go past Galatians. Ephesians chapter 1. Find the right verse here. I said go past Galatians, didn't I? Couldn't find it because I was in Galatians. Ephesians, though, verse 16, says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Again, you see that cease not? Cease not. Colossians chapter 1. A couple more pages over. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 9, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He said, we cease not. Chapter 4, in verse 12. He's talking about Epaphras here. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. A couple more. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. When do I pray? He says, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. In chapter 5, in verse 17, he says in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Again, you see the rejoicing before the praying. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. When do I pray? Pastor, when do I pray? Men ought always to pray. We see a pattern set forth in Scripture. Pray without ceasing. Say, Pastor, I can't do that. I can't pray all the time. The thing with pray without ceasing, and this is the most wonderful thing, is it doesn't have to be a scheduled time. We can go to God at any time. Morning, noon, night, day, evening, any day of the week, any moment in time, God is available for you. We don't need less prayer. We need more prayer. We don't need less prayer. We need more prayer. When do I pray? Always. Whenever you think about it, whenever it comes to your mind, oh, I need to pray about that. I need to pray for that. I need to pray for that. Again, you may have a time where you go and you bring all the requests, but can I tell you, if you're going throughout the day and it comes to your mind, I need to pray about that, pray about it. Or if somebody says, can you pray about this? Pray about it. Pray about it. Oh man, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll revolutionize your life. We need more of this. Why? Because the day's approaching. We're in the last days. We need more Bible. We need more prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. As the musicians come, the altar's open.